I thank you that you want to take us out of any rut that we're in. Oh, my goodness. I thank you for this place, and I thank you for what you've been, who you are in our lives, and the change that you've brought to us. And I just thank you. Somehow we know that you haven't even hardly started yet. So I just thank you. Thank you for this morning, Lord, and I'm asking that, Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here. You're welcome here as our teacher, please. And that what we say and do this morning will bring honor to you, but will also impart faith into the hearts of everyone that's here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Wow, if you weren't here, well, I know you weren't because there was only probably a couple hundred here, but if you're really interested in John Scotland, I highly recommend that you order the CD from Friday night. Actually, how many of you that were here Friday night agree that we need the CD from Friday night? Oh, my goodness. Absolutely the most fantastic, encouraging, kicking us out of the nest message. You know we're eagles. How many of you know that we're eagles? We're designed to be eagles, and we're designed to fly, and at some particular point in our history, Mama Eagle, oh, as a matter of fact, Eagle, Holy Spirit, what was it he said that the Celtic people, oh yeah, you know what the Celtic people call the Holy Spirit, what their name is? The wild goose. It's the wild goose. I bet you didn't know that, did you, Adele? And what was so interesting is one of the main birds for Canada is the wild goose. And you're sitting looking at me. You didn't know that. Yeah, so we're expecting the wild goose to be here this morning. And you know me, those of you know me, I kind of get a little carried away. So I'm really believing that the wild goose is going to goose us today. Anybody that's watching on the internet... So actually, I was laughing on Friday night because I thought, my goodness, it was really an intro sort of to what I want to share with you today. And it's really neat the way the Holy Spirit has this all blend together. And let me just say, I really believe that over the months ahead, we're going to see not only the apostolic being released more and more from this church family, but we're going to be seeing the prophetic being released amongst the people, from us, and from you, and to you, and that, because, see, the Lord has rhema words to speak to our hearts, and it's not just going to be a matter of Steve and Sandra, or John and Carol when they're here, or other people that are in leadership, but it's the whole body of Christ blending together and moving together and sharing the heart of what the Spirit of God is saying so that we can grow up. So I just believe that... we're in such a tremendous time of transition, and I really have to try and stick to what I feel that the Lord wants me to share this morning, because those of you who know me know that I can get lost on rabbit trails all over the place. And over the weeks, when we haven't had a guest speaker, as you know, if you've been here fairly regularly, you know we've been going through Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God, specifically known as the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll find that's in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. It's also excerpts from that are also, not excerpts from it, but another expression of it is also in Luke. And this morning I'm carrying on with that, some aspects of the kingdom. And most especially this morning, I want to talk about persistence and expectation. Say with me, persistence and expectation. Oh, and how about looking at somebody else and saying to them, I am a persistent and an expectant person. How about you? How about you? And now that you've said that, we're responsible for what we've said. And we're responsible for what we hear. And I want you to realize, or just remember that persistence and expectation are manifestations of faith. And faith, if it's faith, has action with it. Now, you saw some action happening up here this morning. Where did they go? There's one right there. There's one. There's two. Where's the rest? Where's the others? Oh, there you are. I didn't recognize you with your clothes all on. Dry. Okay. I guess you have to be aware. Your head would have to be in the sand, really, if you weren't aware of this. But transitions and shifts and changes are happening so quickly in the church worldwide. And we're no exception here at TACF Catch the Fire. Are you having fun trying to change the name in your thinking and in your terminology? Well, it's interesting when we think about transitions, because transition is a passage from one state or one stage or one place to another. And transitions occur because there has come a necessary time for change. Transitions occur because there has come a necessary time for change and a time to move on. And this is why I really would love you to get the CD from Friday night, because that's what John was saying. We've had 16 years of being knocked out of our comfortable little nest and being a church involved in renewal and revival. We've had 16 years of it, but so what? And it's time. I saw this man. I've watched John from the early years, the old drunk pastor from Liverpool. And when you hear his testimony of how God had to get him in that place, to get him into the place he is now, and the whole vision he has and the exhortation he has for the church, moving past the old revival mentality into the new things of the kingdom that God has been preparing us for. And he's been preparing us in this house for something so absolutely new and different that our minds would probably rather not deal with it, okay? But it's time, guys, to move into a fresh anointing, to be vibrant and spirit-filled and passionate and prophetic sons and daughters of God and out of the spiritual ruts that we may have found ourselves in. Now, I think there's some people, probably myself included, have been in a... Is that little Ann clapping back there? Way to go, Ann. You're out of your rut. Way to go. How many want to get out of the rut? Whoa! Gee! Wow! Whoa, whoa, whoa! I read something that Arthur Burke wrote the other day. Let me just quote him, amplified a bit. Arthur Burke writes that we're living in a time when change from God's old order to God's new order is happening at a faster pace than ever before. Our culture is yearning and crying out for something more than religion or churchianity. Ugh. It's crying out. I believe that we are a people and are to be a people who are crying out for the legitimate, powerful presence of God to move among his people. It's time to have a desperate hunger and thirst released among us to bring the manifest glory of God into our communities. And that's not going to happen, guys, with singing a few songs and playing church. And I mean that from the front row to the back row. Okay? When Jesus came, did he ever rock the boat? Oh, my goodness. And he brought a transition. Say the word transition. When Jesus came, he brought a transition from the old ways and the old ruts and the old religious structures into the new way of the kingdom. And it was not understood, and it wasn't liked very much. Did you notice? If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll even see that John the Baptist didn't have a clue what Jesus was doing. He was very much locked into the old, and he was wonderful in the old. He was wonderful in what he did. But Jesus came to bring a place of transition, absolutely, you know, upset the apple cart, so to speak, because something new was beginning. And he not only taught about it, but he showed it as well. And then he gave clues to us. It's amazing. This is absolutely full of clues. I need clues. I just need to know how to interpret the clues. The clues that he gives us, how to enter into kingdom life as well. And it's time to break through the strongholds of apathy and reticence and not being able to move on where God's calling us to move on. And I'm meaning that individually as well as corporately. I have a sense that, you know, Steve gave me the scripture this morning, so it's that I'm going to use, so it's his fault. But I sense that this is to be a real exhortive, and it already happened during worship, a real exhortive time for you and for me to listen up, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, and choose to go along with him. And that can be a little bit of a challenge, you know. So the scripture that for today, I've taken it from Matthew 7:7, and I've asked them not to put it up on the screens because I'm reading it from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible with some amplified lines as well, and it would be rather confusing if you were trying to read what was on the board and hearing me say something with a, you know, different terminology. But it's from Matthew 7:7 and from Luke 11, and it's in the context. Please read the scriptures in context of what they're written to, what they're written for, who they're written to, and what the general essence is of what the writers to the epistles, for example, or Jesus, what's he saying? Who's he talking to? What's the point he's trying to get across? And so this scripture about asking, seeking, finding, which we're going to dig into, is in the context of Jesus teaching his disciples the principles of dynamic, heartfelt, sincere, hanging in there, wholehearted, persistent, and expectant prayer. That's what he's been saying. That's what he's been doing. And he's just finished giving them the most superb outline. I think I need to teach it again probably one Sunday, or somebody does. The most superb outline. We call it the Lord's Prayer, okay? And that, what a tremendous outline for personal worship and intercession and petition and warfare and praise. All of that is right there in the Lord's Prayer. But he carrying on with the very same theme. I'm reading it from Luke 11. I'm going from verses 5 to 13. And I think you'll hear my point very clearly here. So he's just finished teaching them about the Lord's Prayer, well, the essence, all the ingredients of what that would be. And then he carries on. And he says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you would say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. He would call out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night, and we're all in bed. I can't help you this time. But I tell you, though he won't do it as a friend, if you keep knocking, you hear a knock. I'm not just a tapping. If you keep knocking long enough, he'll get up and give you what you want so his reputation won't be damaged. And so I tell you, ask and keep on asking. If your Bible just says ask or seek or find, you need to know that in the original language, in the Greek, the verb used there is a verb that means continually. It means Does that sound like desperation? We had people that said desperation this morning. Well, you're desperate for needs to be met. And I'll mention this again in a few minutes. You're desperate for things to be met in your natural life. But are we that desperate for the things of the kingdom? Oh, just think on that. Anyway, I'm ahead of myself. Ask and keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Seek, keep on seeking, looking for, and you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone, not just a few goody-goodies, everyone who persistently asks receives. Everyone who persistently seeks finds. And the door is open to everyone who persistently knocks. You fathers, or mothers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people, and I just said, if we everyday, ordinary people, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, there's that word, say it, more, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And church family, I believe that it is time to become a persistent, expectant, asking, seeking, knocking people. Amen. Ask. Those of you who know me know we exhort our teachers. We love to do word studies. We love to find out the meanings of words. And I had fun with these ones. Ask, in this context, means to request, to petition someone in a higher position. In other words, Daddy, our Heavenly Father. It means insistent asking without reservation, without qualms, without hesitation, reluctance, unwillingness. but solidly presenting a requisition for items that God loves to distribute. What would we ask for? Ask with expectancy that we would recognize and welcome a visitation from God Himself into our midst at His timing. Ask the Lord for the transforming power and glory of the Holy Spirit to overcome us, to move on us and through us during this new season that He's bringing us into. Ask that His will would be done in our lives and that our destinies and our inheritances and that our spirits will be guarded and watched over and protected by the Holy Spirit. Those are some pretty good things to ask for, aren't they? Ask, and I mean cry out for His miraculous blessings poured out to us and through us. And I love from my Spirit-filled Life Bible, he says, the commentator writes, just as you ask for daily bread, like in the Lord's Prayer, ask for daily water. Have you asked for daily water? The river of God and the flow of His Spirit through you in an ever-increasing measure. Never cease asking for more of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because you'll never have that all you need. You'll never, I have all I need. You need more. You need more right now. You need more 20 minutes from now. You need more this afternoon. You need more before you go to bed tonight. You need more tomorrow morning. It should be something that is just rolling around in our conscious mind. Woo! As we're just walking in that intimate one-on-one place with Him, that there would be an expectancy for the more of God to manifest in our life. Wow. And He desires to fill you continually. Not just a little dabble, do ya, in a good Sunday morning service. He desires to fill us continually with His grace and His power and His truth, because more of Him means less pride, less weakness, and less failure. And more of Him means more ministry, more leading more people to Christ, more service, more refreshing. So continually ask Him for the more. Ask Him. And then seek. Seek means to... I had fun with this one. To seek means to try to find, to search for, look for, track down, look into, dig for, probe for, investigate, explore, examine, scrutinize, inspect, nose out, pursue, hunt, fish for, sniff out, scout out, and trace. Oh, my goodness. What things are we to investigate? What things does He want us to fish for, to scout out, to nose out, to track down, to look into? This is quite different than, well, I'm a child of God, and if He wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. Oh, my goodness. How about tracing out His heart? How about sniffing out His word? How about tracking down His promises, His principles, His purposes, His will? How about looking into and probing for and investigating His battle plans? How about seeking after His treasures and His mysteries and so forth? It's time to dig for His promises. It's time to fish for them. Guys, it's time to get serious. It really is. And then knock. Knock, knock, knock. I'd have you knock on somebody's head, but that probably would hurt them. Knock. Knocking. Knocking is a... Can you imagine in that example that Jesus gave this, his neighbor down at his front door, if they had front doors, knocking, knocking, and knocking, and knocking, and knocking, till he woke the guy up upstairs in his house. Knocking. Knocking. It's a persistent action of faith. It's a pressing through. I understand last Sunday you had one absolutely passionate sermon about pressing through. And some of you thought, oh, I don't think I can do that. Well, yes, you can. Press through, press through, press through. Be insistent. It means a pressing through and expecting a response. And persistence is rewarded. It brings breakthrough. Remember the scripture. So I tell you, keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. And Galatians 6:9 says, don't get tired of doing what's good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. So would it be okay to just consider what kind of people we are here at Catch the Fire Toronto TACF, both individually and corporately? Let me tell you what the word persistent means. You can see I do have a lot of fun looking up words. Oh, persistence. Work unflaggingly, maintaining your efforts, pursue relentlessly, be tenacious, not give up, stop at nothing, be obstinate, hold steadfast, be determined, keep at it, be unyielding, stick to it, hang in there, move heaven and earth, leave no stone unturned, continue steadfastly and often annoyingly. Really bug 'em. Especially in spite of opposition. Stick to your guns. Don't take no for an answer. Never say die. The time to take this morning, but there's some marvelous examples in the scripture of ones who just absolutely just rammed their way through into their healing, into life, into what they've needed. I think of Bartimaeus. Now, you can read about him later, because I'm just going to tell the stories. I'm not going to go back and read all the scripture. But Bartimaeus, it's in Mark 10:46, if anybody cares to look it up at some other time. But he's a blind beggar. And he would sit at the side of the road, and he would have his little cloak with him. And it's interesting, those beggar's cloaks were amazing things because they had pockets inside, and that's where they kept any coins or anything that were given to them. They would put a stick up in it and make like a little tent that would be their protection, would be their sort of little house that they would stay in. And it also was their badge of identity, the beggar's cloak. So anyway, this guy, I don't know how old he is. I assume that he's a man of middle age and up, and he's been blind all his life, and he's sitting there. And he has heard as people have come through town. You know, faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing. And he's heard about this man, Jesus. So he's sitting there doing his begging, and he hears a commotion at the other, down the street. And he says, what's happening? What's going on? And some of the ones in the crowd around him say, oh, it's that Jesus of Nazareth has just come to town. And when Bartimaeus hears that, he begins to ask, oh, Jesus, just come by me. No, he begins to shout, and I can't do this in the mic, but he began to say, Jesus, Son of David, here I am. And everybody around him, just like you and I would probably do to somebody in our midst that's decided to get passionate for God, we'd say, oh, shh, can't do that. Oh, no, do that embarrasses me. I've done that a few times during the renewal. That has been an attitude in my heart. And I have a feeling it's been the attitude of some of our other hearts as well. I wish they'd just cool it a little bit. I'm really not comfortable with all that passion, all that vigor, all that noise. Going, can't God hear them when they just are nice and quiet and simple? No, here's Bartimaeus saying, David, Jesus, Son of David, I need you. And everybody's telling him to shut up. But Jesus, he says, what's all the commotion? They said, well, there's some old blind beggar down the road and he's yelling for you. And Jesus says, well, tell him to come here. Oh, all of a sudden, he's popular. Oh, Bartimaeus, Jesus, he's calling you. And you see the old guy? He jumps to his feet. He throws his beggar's cloak aside. And you see him going through the crowd. And he comes over. It gets right in front of Jesus. And if you can imagine, Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Give me a break. He knew what he wanted. Because you see, what are you laughing at? I don't want to know. Did I say something bad again? Give me a break. Yeah. Anyway, you see, this man, by his yelling, he yelled out, he got Jesus' attention. He was absolutely persistent. But then he goes to Jesus, but Jesus saw that this man had faith to be healed. He didn't even pray for him. He says, go. He says, I want to see. And immediately his eyes were open and he saw. But you know what Jesus saw that told Jesus that this man had faith to be healed? When he got up, I haven't got time to ask you all. As soon as he jumped up, you know what? He threw away his old identity. He threw down his beggar's coat because he knew he wasn't going to need that thing anymore. Whoa, what do we need to throw away? That's our crutch that we lean on. That's our identity. That's our absolutely everything. And yet he threw it away because he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was his answer. Talk about being obnoxious. Talk about pushing through. Talk about getting an answer. One of my favorite ones is this poor old gal. I don't know how old she was, likely postmenopausal or something at this point. But there's several gospels with her, and Mark 6 is this one. This gal had been bleeding for 12 years. Give me a break. And just to make a long, marvelous story short, she had tried everything under the sun to be healed. She tried every medical thing that was out there. And when you do a study of those, some of them were fairly ghastly. She spent all her money going to doctors. And not only that, she would have been absolutely as ostracized as a leper, because when a woman was in that time of a month for her, she was not allowed to be out in public. She was not allowed to be anywhere where there were men. No man could come and even sit on any piece of furniture or be anywhere that she had been. She was considered unclean. She was an outcast and she was rejected. Now that's probably okay for a week, a month, but 12 years is a little bit much. And not only that, being an old nurse here, I would imagine that she didn't have vitamin B shots in those days, and she likely, her hemoglobin, her red blood count was likely really low, and she didn't have all the good stuff that Carol McIntosh can provide through her greens and yellows and blues and all that stuff, those nutritional thing. Although she had to drink bitter herbs, and she had to burn some kind of, plants in that. It was the original aromatherapy, I think, but it didn't work for her. Anyway, she's desperate. And she hears about Jesus. She hears about this man and what's been happening. And the Bible says she said to herself, she gets a picture. She gets a revelation. She said to herself, if I could just get to him and I could reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Now, she didn't want to touch his jeans, you know, or whatever. But she wanted to touch, that meant his prayer shawl. He would have worn a prayer shawl with these little tassels all over them, which indicated in that culture, in that faith, the word of God. And she wanted to reach out and touch him. And she felt, if I can just reach out and touch him, I'll be healed. Now, the Bible doesn't say where she lived. Did she live, 3 kilometers outside of town, or did she live 3 streets over from the street he was coming on? The whole point is she got chutzpah. Chutzpah means guts. And she traveled and she went to where he was. She didn't think, oh, Jesus, if you'll just come to my house, I'll be healed. No. And she pressed. The Bible says that she got, and the crowd, there was no crowd control. It was more crowd. I mean, just picture this room absolutely full of people, shoulder to shoulder. And here comes this little woman that's not even supposed to be out in public. And it says she pressed her way. She pushed her way. She wiggled her way around the legs and around the bodies until she got right up to where he was walking. And I'm sure part of her was just scared to death, because, I mean, like I don't know what would have happened if the Pharisaical leaders had, discovered her or anything. But anyway, she got to him and she reached out and she took a hold of his prayer shawl. Whoa. And it's interesting. Jesus felt, all of a sudden, he felt healing virtue go from him. And the Bible says at that very moment, she felt herself healed inside, and that flow of blood dried up. Talk about persistence. Talk about going after. Talk about seeking and going for it. And the last, only other one I'm going to look at right now are the 4 friends. Some of you are going to be friends for somebody else that needs to get to God. And this guy who was paralyzed for some kind of particular sin in his life, I think. I don't know what it was. But anyway, he couldn't move. So these 4 friends, I know you know the story, but I want you to get the picture again of asking, seeking, knocking, or pulling the tiles off a roof. Even if we've just spent $500,000 putting a new roof on. I just got a picture. I wonder if that house that they were in, if they had just had a roof repair. That would be really discouraging, wouldn't it? And so they get this guy on a stretcher, and the four of them carry it, and they get to the house where Jesus is ministering, and they can't get near the place. They can't get in the door. I mean, the crowd is thick. Do you think that deters them? Oh, gee, I tried to get into the parking lot. I brought Charlie with me, and he really needs healing. He really needs to meet the Lord. But, oh, my goodness, I'm way back up here. Look at the crowds. I mean, I can't even get near the church. Well, it's just too full. I guess we just won't go today. Well, they said, I'll tell you what we'll do, guys. And they look at the outdoor stairs that go up, the steps that go up to the roof of the houses in those days. And they thought, we have an idea. I'd love a cartoon of this. And you know, you see the big circle with the words in the circle that they're thinking. They're thinking, we're going to take him up there. We have a plan. And can you just imagine? I don't know whether they've tied him down on this stretcher or not, but do you ever picture? I mean, those were steep stairs. And how would the four of them get that guy on that stretcher up those stairs? And I'm sure at this point he's saying, forget it, guys. Forget it. Forget it. No, forget it. And they said, no, we're going to get you to him. And they got up on the roof. And I don't think that poor guy still had a clue what they're going to do. And they start to you know, with their hands, get the stones away from the shingly things on the roof, and they get right down and they make a hole through the rafters, as my husband would say. Is it 16-inch centers? I wonder if they used those in those days. They made a hole, and at this point, I think the poor patient likely had fainted. When he realized, now have you ever pictured that? When they let that guy on that stretcher with some ropes down into the middle of the room, did they let him down this way? Or did they let him down this way? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered? But they dropped this guy on his bed right down in front of Jesus. Now to me, that's persistent. How persistent, how asking, seeking, knocking are we for others in our families or in our fellowship or out in our communities? What a vast variety of communities we come from in this place. I mean, just look at the flags there. Are we absolutely desperate that we'll go to any ends in the midst of all the screaming, hollering, and yelling, saying, no, 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 I don't want to. We're going to get you there. We're going to get you to Jesus. I think that's persistent. Well, those are marvelous examples of, there's all sorts of, but where do you stop? All sorts of examples of pressing through for desperate physical needs. Asking, seeking, knocking. But where are we with the same attitude of expectancy, pushing through for a deeper revelation of the kingdom? For closeness with the Lord, for being on fire with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Are we that persistent? Are we that yelling out? Are we that going the extra mile and into an inconvenience? Are we hungry for the things of the kingdom of God? Do we only want him for a temporal breakthrough in our life's problems? Come on. Or we are at the place where we've got the same zeal that we go after for help with our life's problems. Do we have the same zeal to go after the things of the Spirit? Nicole, can I have you come back up, please? Transition time is here, guys. Really is. Not liking it too much is not going to stop it. Transition time is here. The church is rapidly changing. Do we want to keep up with what God is doing and be willing to move on into new territory? I haven't got a clue what it's going to look like. This is the funniest place to be right now for me, and I think for most of you in the kingdom. You know God's on the move. You know he's doing something different. You know it's a time of transition. Boy, you know it's the time of that Red Sea, even as Carol, that Red Sea parting for us to go through. And yet some of us feel we're standing right at and looking at that water that's over our heads saying, wait, you got to be kidding. You think I'm going to walk through there? There's no way. Yes, there is a way. We don't know what it looks like. The Lord is saying it's a necessary time for change. It's a time to move into the fresh anointing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to be vibrant. That's you. That's you. There's a man here this morning whose name is Jim. Maybe you're here in the room, or maybe you're here on the internet. But your name is Jim, and you're in a place of absolute frustration, and you've been you have tried everything in your means. Everything you can put your hand to for breakthrough. I have a sense that it has to do with your job. It also has to do with relationships, even in that job. And you've tried and you've tried, and you're place of desperate, and you think it's just at the end, and you just can't see your way out. And I believe the Lord is saying, yes, I'm bringing transition into your life. I am bringing change into your life. And I want you to stop looking at all the things that can be manufactured to make things work. And I want you to stop what you're doing and begin to call out to me and to begin to seek me with your whole heart and begin to knock on the doors that I've placed in front of you. And you will find that I am the breaker. I am the God of the breakthrough. Jim, hear that word. That's for you. And there's a woman. I don't know if you're here this morning or if you're watching on the internet, but your name is Alice. And I'm thinking of little Alice in Wonderland. But Alice, your Heavenly Father wants to take you into a land of wonder where you begin to discover the things of the kingdom of God and the things of the life in the Spirit that are far more magnificent than anything in the wonderlands that you've been trying. Wow. It's time to move into the fresh anointing, to be vibrant, spirit-filled, passionate, apostolic, prophetic sons and daughters of God, and come out of any spiritual ruts that you may find yourselves in. Never cease asking for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you stand, please? Never cease asking for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I believe this morning we already have begun it. We already began. That was just a beginning this morning. Just a beginning. Those of you that are feeling a twinge of a fresh fire in your bones, that the Spirit of God is blowing with His wind, with His breath this morning, His ruah this morning, and He's blowing on your spirit, man. He's blowing fresh vigor, fresh vitality, fresh vision, fresh hope, fresh I want to into your hearts, okay? And let's begin this morning. Could this be a day of new beginning at Catch the Fire TACF? Could this be a day, a new season of asking and seeking and knocking for the kingdom of heaven breakthrough in our lives this morning? Amen. Some of you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit even as the worship begins, and we're going to just do rain down, rain down, rain down. I think that's what they're going to do. Are you ready? Are you hungry for the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for a refilling of the Holy Spirit this morning? That you just feel that not to be topped up, to be filled again. And I'm just saying, even as we sing this, would you just come to the front? What more of the Holy Spirit do you need in your lives today? Would you just come as we sing and let's just cry out and call out and expect the Holy Spirit to just be who He says He is in Jesus' name. Let's just sing this with vigor. Okay. Yes. Let's call. And again, steps of faith will be calling. Steps of faith will be calling. Steps of faith will be yelling out for Him. at the family. Look at the family. Talk about expectant, persistent, head bashing. Wow. My goodness. Just keep right where you are. Keep standing. If some of you got to be knocking. Some of you be asking. But you know what? Maybe, just could be, because there's visitors here this morning. It could be that someone has come with a friend or just been in, and you wonder what on earth we're all about. Well, we're just all about being children of a Heavenly Father that we know loves us and is changing us, transforming us, and lifting us out of all of the goop of our past and bringing into a fresh new walk. And if there's somebody here that still really doesn't know Jesus Christ as their very best friend, as their Lord and Savior, and you haven't yet come into the family of God as a child of God, that I believe that this morning would be the most awesome morning for you to just receive the most marvelous gift that's ever been given. I mean, here's a gift of life been given to us. And we say, well, I don't think I want it. Oh, yes, we do. We want everything that God has for us. And there's a hunger in your heart. And there's been a pulling. In fact, one of you, I think, is Jim. There's been a tugging in your heart. And he's come to rescue you. He's come to bring life to you. And would you just turn to somebody, especially if you have a friend here, a family member. Oh, someone's brought a family member this morning, and you have thought, oh, I hope it'll be all right there this morning, that they won't be offended. And God says, I just love you, and you know, I just might offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. We learned that early in the days of revival. Would you just turn to someone that's a new person here, or even in this crowd, and say to them, do you really know Jesus as your own Savior? Do you know Jesus? Just ask somebody. Look at these ones. They're laughing. Do you know Jesus? Is there anyone here that just needs to just release their life into a loving Father's hands and receive everything that He has for them? Is there anybody here that has missed out on that so far? Would you just put your hands up, because we want to pray with you. Whoa, this means you're all, every single one in this room is a born again, blood bought, son or daughter of the Most High God, and a candidate for moving His kingdom sons and daughters. I like that, don't you? Can we do that chorus just one more time? One more time before you go home. Woo-wee. We bless you. We bless you. Oh, more and more. Knock, knock, knock. 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 Knock, knock, knock.
Break down. All around the world we're singing. Break down. And you hear the earth is singing. Break down. All the stars are staring and singing. Break down.
and authority and friendship. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and inundate us and fall on us. These that are here, these that are back there, these that are, come Holy Spirit. Just come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Woo, right back there to Sue. Get a real filling up right back there. Right back there. Right back. Right back. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Wow. Expectantly. Expectant. 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 Come Holy Spirit. Come, 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 come. Come. Yeah, woo. We love you. We trust you. We expect you. Yeah. We're askers, and we're seekers, and we're knockers. Yeah, whoa, wow, yeah.
You can stay where you're at, but I just want to give two quick announcements. At the very back, right by the bookstore entrance, we have books for newcomers. So if you are a newcomer to this church this morning, we would love to give you a book. If you're part of the church and you go, oh, I'd like that book, can you go and buy it? It's not very much, but we want to give it as a gift to our newcomers this morning. And also, just to remind you that for the summertime, we've canceled the evening services. But you just need to check on the internet. And remember, this coming week is the Canada Awakening Conference. So I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Go out with His blessing. Go out with His provision. Go out with His sons, that you are sons and daughters. And I just bless you.
Let's give the Lord a real round of applause for who He is.